Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show. To Mystery Motel. It's me, Ray. Today, we're joining Alex Chen as she figures out the mystery behind her brother's death. Was it an accident? Was it murder? Will she find love on the way? And what about her empathy powers? We're covering all this and more while we talk Life is Strange, True Colors, a graphic adventure released September 10th, 2021, developed by Deck 9, who have also developed Life is Strange Before the Storm, published by Square Enix, the publisher of the Life is Strange franchise, as well as Marvel's Avengers and Final Fantasy, among many others. The game Life is Strange True Colors is currently available on PC, PlayStations 4 and 5, Xbox One, Series X and S, and coming soon to Nintendo Switch. And with that, let's get into the game. When we start the game, we are introduced to our protagonist, Alex Chen. The Life is Strange franchise continues to be a shining example of diversity. Alex is a young woman of Asian heritage. While that representation is worthy of note, it's not the plotline here in the Mystery Motel like it was in Life is Strange 2. Alex comes to the fictional town of Haven, Colorado after outgrowing the foster care system. She reunites with her brother Gabe, a character we know from the marketing is doomed to die. But the game doesn't jump the gun, taking the entirety of the first chapter to ingratiate him as a lovable older sibling. While we may have known what his fate was going in, it was still heartbreaking after seeing the effort he was willing to put in to find and reconnect with his sister. Joining the main cast are Stephanie and Ryan. Some might remember Stephanie from Before the Storm, as Arcadia's theater kid, harboring a crush on Rachel, and also playing D&D with Mike and Chloe. When Alex meets Stephanie, Steph is hosting the local radio show, while also running the local record shop. While the story of how Steph went from Arcadia to Haven is visited in her special DLC, here we get to see the beginning of a strong friendship, or more depending on the player, formed between these two young ladies. Immediately after meeting Stephanie, Alex meets Ryan, son of a local bar owner and the forest ranger. I was inclined to dislike Ryan, mostly because of how often Life is Strange has forced a male friendship in a way that wasn't believable or felt forced for reasons of the plot. But what I appreciate with Ryan throughout the game, but especially in chapters 1 and 2, is that he's written exponentially well. He is available as a romance option, but he's not endlessly pining for Alex like Warren did with Max. And he's not trying to force his way of life or morals onto her like Finn did with Sean in Life is Strange 2. Ryan is a well-rounded, three-dimensional character, and he is simply a great guy. There are hints of attraction, but how far that is pursued is left up to the player, with many choices determining just how close you'd like to be with Ryan. It may have taken a couple episodes, but I had warmed up to Ryan in a meaningful way, which is a credit to the writing team and the player agency afforded by the nature of the game. Smattered throughout the first two chapters are introductions to the town's residents. Jed the barkeep, known by everyone as a hero for a feat that he doesn't like talking about. Pike, the deputy sheriff, who genuinely wants to look out for the townspeople and is always happy to pull a prank or offer some advice if it means making someone smile. Charlotte, Gabe's girlfriend, and her son, Ethan. In case Alex's connection to Gabe wasn't enough, Charlotte and Ethan are shown being affected by Gabe, both by his impact on their lives and by the grief upon his death. Fro and Mac, the loud-mouthed, hot-headed, jealous boyfriend. Riley, the young lady aspiring for a life beyond the simple town. Eleanor, a sweet old lady who suffered from an encroaching illness. And Ducky, an old man who has a heart of gold and a taste for a tale for every occasion. This town may be small, with roughly 90% of the game's events taking place on one street, but it's well thought out, with that cozy feeling one would imagine comes from small town life. And all of this comes in handy when your protagonist has the power of empathy. With four main emotions, sadness, fear, anger, and joy shining in different colored auras, Alex must navigate this power, one she's seemingly always had, without being overwhelmed by others' strong feelings. first displayed when she beats Mac to a pulp due to experiencing Max's own rage while he beat her brother. Alex continues this adventure, learning her powers come with more than just reading emotions and thoughts. While attempting to save Ethan, Alex realizes she must experience his fear fully and thus shares his emotion and starts to see the world in the way he does, a power that would come in handy throughout the remainder of the game as Alex works to help the townsfolk through their emotions while solving a mystery. That mystery being, why did the mining company Typhon still set off explosives despite their knowing Alex, Ryan, Ethan, and Gabe were still in the blast zone? And with Gabe dying due to the debris of the explosives, who is to blame for Alex's brother's death? Now, these events occur in Chapter 1, and I apologize for not giving a spoiler warning, but first couple hours of the game, most of it already spoiled by marketing, but I'm officially giving a spoiler warning because we are going to be discussing this game in full, with Chapter 2 taking place the next day. Not afraid of keeping up a rapid pace, the game takes the time to breathe and allow the characters to grieve. With fights breaking out, accusations flying, and many tears shed, Alex seeks comfort in Stephanie and Ryan. And Alex even helps Ryan, who blames himself for being unable to save Gabe, despite his actions saving Alex and Ethan. This was a very well done chapter, without displaying the grieving process in a negative light, and instead showing that it's okay to grieve. But it's also okay to accept help and to accept that you can't save everyone. And sometimes death is a time where you can reflect on the happy memories and enjoy the life that was. Chapter 3 was a very unique part of the game. It was decided that the characters would host a street-wide LARP session so as to cheer up Ethan. Before this happens, Ethan confides in Alex that he doesn't want to be cheered up, as he still blames himself for what happened. After having a heart-to-heart, though, Alex convinces Ethan to embody his character of Thanor, a character that Ethan actually creates comics for, while she plays the part of his bard. From here, the game changes genres to that of a turn-based RPG. When in combat, players control both Ethan and Alex against creatures and villains played by Ryan. There are also side quests like managing to get items from the magic ware cellar, which is really just Stephanie in a witch's costume, and attempting to solve a riddle. All of this coming to a conclusion when Ethan gets to use the sword he had designed, thanks to assistance from his mother Charlotte, and fighting one of two possible big bads portrayed by Jed. After defeating the big bad in a moment made even better when Alex witnesses events through the eyes of Ethan, thus turning handmade costumes and props into epic Warcraft RPG-style animation, Alex and Ethan celebrate. The moment is ruined, however, when sirens go off alerting another explosive going off in the mountains, triggering a PTSD episode with Ethan. Between RPGs and funerals, Alex and company have been working to see who was responsible for Typhon blowing up the explosives that killed Gabe. After talking to Mac, who admitted he was on duty, he initially stated to the public that no call came through to him about anyone being lost on the mountain. But, after being confronted by Alex personally and suffering paranoia, Mac finally admits to receiving a call and attempting to stop the explosives, but was ordered by his superiors to stand down and simply act like the call never came through. With Ryan and Stephanie's help, Alex manages to snag a flash drive from Diane, a business representative for Typhon. During the LARP, Alex enlists Riley's help to get past the password, and upon going home, learns that Diane was also aware that Alex and company were in the mountains, but was party to the decision to simply act like nothing ever happened. She also learns why this happened in the first place. Typhon needed that explosive to go off to cover up a second illegal explosion of an older abandoned mine, supposedly in the hopes to cover something up. With this knowledge, Alex realizes that she has enough decisive evidence to hand over to Pike and arranges a meeting with him towards the end of the Spring Festival, an event which would take the majority of Chapter 4. One of the big traditions with the Spring Festival is that someone can take a flower and give it to someone they wish to pursue. So if you have been thinking of pursuing a romance with either Ryan or Stephanie, now is the time. Handing them the flower will lead to a romantic rendezvous on a rooftop later in the episode, where you can either confirm the relationship with a kiss or back out with a hug. You can also simply go about your business helping other townspeople until the time for the next instance comes into play. However, something that I am greatly disappointed in is the missed opportunity to feature polyamory into a game that's already rich in diversity. Alex is free to flirt with both Ryan and Steph throughout the prior episodes with no negative connotations and without being locked in. However, the game only allows you to hand one rose out. While Steph is strictly attracted to women, all three of these characters were very close, and I very much wanted this to be a V-style relationship. I mean, come on, Deck Nine. You and Square Enix are one of the leading companies on inclusivity. I'd love to see you guys take this step and make polyamory an option, or even just something a side character or characters are practicing. That said, since I was forced to choose, I ended up with Stephanie, a decision I did not regret after the ending of the game was taken into account, and it made the journey of Steph's DLC seem even more worthwhile. I know this franchise wants the story to be tailored to the characters' decisions, but when it comes to romance, they do tend to heavily feature the female romances over the men. That said, experiencing the Steph romance personally was very fun and heartwarming. I could feel a connection when they first interacted, and the digital blushing upon any time I dared to flirt with her. And when I leaned in to kiss her and was taken aback a moment to see her surrounded by an aura of fear, but was immediately put at ease upon reading her thoughts and hearing, "Kiss her, kiss her, kiss me," very heartwarming, and reminds me of the butterfly feelings one gets in the initial stages of flirtations. Other than romance, this game also leads you down morally questionable avenues. At the end of Chapter 3, Alex discovers that she also has the ability to take away people's emotions, first being presented with this after discovering that Charlotte has been building and harboring feelings of hatred towards Ryan, Gabe, Alex, and even her own son. Despite trying to talk her down, Alex realizes that nothing she says will soothe these feelings of anger, and so contemplates the possibility of taking this anger away. This brings up the question of if Alex even should do this. By taking away someone's emotions, it's like you're taking away a form of self-control and agency from them. Without the ability to fully experience these emotions, we may be taking away someone's ability to fully process them. When I had played, I took a firm stance against doing this, as I didn't see it as morally right. In this instance, regarding Charlotte, it would prove to be a good thing, as after taking time to process, she eventually came around and became friends with Alex. Meanwhile, I would discover if you had taken her emotion away, she would become emotionally detached, and as a result of taking the emotional baggage as your own, would cause Alex to eventually burst and lash out at Steph and Ryan. Conversely, another instance where you can take away someone's emotion is when Deputy Sheriff Pike arrests you for stealing the USB drive. He states that the case is closed and that he would need a warrant to search for the drive anyways. He requests that Alex sign an agreement, stating she will cease all attempts to investigate her brother's death and dig up Duron Typhon. After reading Pike's emotional aura, she discovers he is afraid of Typhon, both for himself and for Alex, as he doesn't believe anyone could topple the mining corporation. Once again feeling that I shouldn't take away someone's emotion, I allowed Pike to remain afraid and simply signed the agreement. This would prove to be what the game deemed a bad decision, as I will discuss later. Conversely, if you do take away his fear, he will agree to look into the drive and you can walk away without signing anything. With these being the only two instances where Alex can take away emotions and take the baggage for herself temporarily, we are shown a positive and a negative reasoning for why she should use her power. So, is this a power that is best used sparingly with good judgment? And who's to say one's judgment is always going to be sound and unbiased? Perhaps I'm looking into this more than I was intended, but then again, it also speaks volumes the amount of philosophical pondering I'm left with after playing this game. Alright guys, I'm going to be talking about the ending of the game. I'm also going to be discussing the DLC episode, but first, a word from our sponsor. Alright guys, so, whether you signed the agreement or not, Alex speaks with Jed, who offers to help her by showing her what Typhon may be covering up at the old mine. It's at an entrance to this mine where Alex feels a surge of sadness upon Jed and turns to find him aiming a gun at her, revealing he is aligned with Typhon all along. He admits that he never wanted Gabe to die and that he tried to scare Alex off the trail, but she was too determined and he shot her. It seems the bullet only grazed her skull, though. The force was still enough to knock her back into the pit of the mines. Here we are given an exposition dump of memories visiting Alex's greatest moments of sadness, her mother's death, fear, her father leaving her and Gabe alone, and anger, constantly being tossed back and forth in the foster care system, a tragedy that I can't even imagine, but a tragedy that deserves representation and acknowledgement. After waking up, Alex makes her way from the mines, hearing the echoes of emotion that revealed to her the truth of what Typhon was hiding. Jed was a leader during a mining expedition, and that pushed the crew through unsafe working conditions. The mine had begun to partially collapse and flood, and Jed was forced to leave 7 men behind to save himself. One of those 7 men being Alex's father, as confirmed by a locket containing pictures of Alex and Gabe being found in the mines. With his newfound knowledge, Alex goes to the city council meeting and bears the truth for all to hear. Though, whether or not anyone believes her is up to the decisions you have made to this point. I will go through them for you now. Stephanie will always side with you. Charlotte will side with you if you allowed her to keep her anger, Vo, if you had told her to take Typhon's hush money in a prior episode, she will be told to remain quiet by Diane. From there, whether or not you've built up a good enough rapport with her determines if she falls silent or continues to stand up for you. Ducky. Ducky has a small subplot concerning his wife who had died some years ago. If Alex helps Ducky grieve through this memory and helps him find his favorite whiskey, he'll be more inclined to stand up for Alex. Eleanor. Eleanor and Riley's subplot involved Eleanor's Alzheimer's, which she attempts to hide from Riley so that Riley will go to college. If you help Eleanor keep the secret, she will side with you. But if you reveal the secret and Riley stays home, Eleanor will believe Alex is confused from her fall and sympathize with her about believing in things that aren't real. Pike. Is easy, as he will side with you if you removed his fear, or will say that you should give up if you allowed him to remain a coward. Finally, Ryan. Jed's son, and your friend, possibly lover, depending on your decisions. Ryan is the most difficult to persuade, and there is a long list to go for you to ensure his loyalty. First, you must hug him at the end of Chapter 2. Then you must choose him as the distraction at the beginning of Chapter 3. Don't take Charlotte's anger, as this will cause you to blow up at Ryan later. Then you romance him by giving him the rose and kissing him in Chapter 4. Quick note though, romance doesn't seem to be necessary for his loyalty, but it might save you if you failed one of the other objectives. And above all, the most important thing you can do is get everyone else to side with you. Seeing everyone else support you over his dad is a big push towards him realizing that his dad isn't the great guy that everyone believed him to be. From here, regardless of how many people believe you or not, just to be clear, I got 4 out of 6, Alex accesses the brain plane. That's just what I call it. They don't really explain whatever the hell she does here. Where she speaks to Jed on an emotional level where no one can interrupt them. After a long monologue, the player gets to either forgive Jed or condemn him. While Jed cries, we cut to black, and the following radio broadcast reveals that Jed confessed everything. I appreciate when a game takes the player agency and matches it against the individual motivations and character traits of other characters. Stephanie has always been portrayed as a loyalist, so it makes sense that no matter what, she would stand by Alex. And while Ryan is a kind and caring individual, he is also soft-spoken and loyal to his father, which leads to his internal conflict that builds to his ultimate decision. This council meeting scene made even small, minor decisions matter. From here, we are treated to an epilogue where Alex can speak to her romantic partner, if one was selected, and have a heart-to-heart with the memory of her brother. Here we must decide whether Alex is going to stay in Haven or set off on adventure. I elected to go on an adventure with Stephanie, which led to us forming a band and becoming a traveling music show with plenty of fans. The only downside to this scenario was that I didn't get the chance to talk to Ryan and accept his apology. So yes, Alex can decide to settle down and make a home, or go out and live her life. Either find the stability she never had, or take a risk and enjoy the freedom that comes with individuality and independence. Now we are going to take a step away from the normal world of powers and adventure for something more relaxed. Spoilers follow for the DLC episode Wavelengths. You ready? Okay. Now we are taking control of Stephanie, 1 year prior to Alex's arrival. Steph is a recent transplant to Haven, having just gotten her job at the record store / radio station. Over the course of the year, Steph gets to leave her mark on the station with deciding what music to play, how to jazz up advertisement readings, and decorating the store over the course of major events and holidays. One neat feature added in is that people call into the station, and after Steph determines a man's girlfriend is going to break up with him based off her selection of music, Steph gains the gimmick of being a psychic radio host. And to spice up the calls, Steph rolls her D20 to determine whether she should give the callers good news or bad news. Granted, like any good DM, Steph has the option to fudge the rolls here and there, but I stuck true for the most part. Another interesting feature I enjoyed was the dating app that Steph had downloaded. The romance angles here was something I appreciated because without powers, major disasters, and boxes to check off, the dev team took the time to explore what it actually is like to date online. With cliches like dealing with chatbots and couples going unicorn hunting, I also got to have a slight taste of what could be, with Steph dating 2 girls at once at one point, and with a tease that she'd hook up with an older woman during a particularly painful anniversary. She does end up backing out though. These relationships are meaningful and leave an impact on Steph, from seeing a young fellow theater kid find themselves as a trans man to becoming friends of the girls she dates, albeit briefly. You'll want to look at every text you can, as these relationships help build a foundation and dive deep into what exactly Steph is looking for. The fact the game closes in on Steph meeting Alex for the first time only makes it feel like a full circle moment. One point I did feel was missing was the absence of Valkyrie, the cat that calls the record shopper home. While her presence is felt, she remains elusive. Steph's efforts to bond with his feline are noted in small ways, but seeing as Steph is physically alone on big events like Pride Month, Halloween, and Christmas, it would have been nice to see her accompanied by Valkyrie. With the game coming together as a whole package, I completely recommend it. I've covered story beats extensively, but graphics and sound are a hit, with the game providing an updated art style to the franchise that helps provide emotion to the characters' faces, even without the color-coded empathy powers. The musical soundtrack was well thought out, with plenty of variety with alternative rock, rhythm and blues, and some top 40 hits included, as well as plenty of songs I never experienced before. Gotta say, one of my favorites was during her fear flashback, like when Alex is remembering a fight her brother and her father had. She puts headphones on at one point, and you just hear the nice lilting tune of "The tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. Morning rain clouds up my window, and I can't see it all." I gotta stop before I get copyrighted. But that song brought back so many memories. This was such an absolutely terrific soundtrack. I can't say that enough. Also, playing on PS5 was fun, as they used the haptic feedback to show just how much using these powers affects Alex physically. Quick note, if you enjoy exploring the different side stories, sometimes the game requires you to both read someone's thoughts and look at them, something that wasn't always clear to me, so I had missed out on a lot of side quests in my initial playthrough. I'll top this off by saying you should totally shell the extra cash to experience the DLC episode, available both in the Deluxe Edition and in the Deluxe Upgrade. This game is completely worth the full price and has plenty of replay value as well. Alright guys, thanks for stopping by the Mystery Motel. Were you surprised by who was responsible for Gabe's death? Do you enjoy all the adventures Square Enix has released, with the exception of Twin Mirror, which is discussed in a previous Mystery Motel in the archives at www.73dreamstudiosvarietyshow.wordpress.com? I know you guys are looking forward to hearing how my experience at AEW Dynamite is going to go, but next week we're recognizing Halloween with a horror hotel special covering Fear Street, which, if you want to get the heads up before I discuss it next week, all three entries in the trilogy are currently available on Netflix. Until then, follow our socials. 73 Dream Studios Variety Show is on Instagram and on Facebook. You can catch my wrestling Twitter at Clark Dion, and Instagram is at Clark Dion 73. You can also find Clark Dion, that's C-L-A-R-K space D-Y-O-N. That's right, it's a Y. Get it for your heads, people. It's not D-I-O-N, it's D-Y-O-N. I digress. Clark Dion on Facebook. You can watch Gaming Experience if you want to see me play some Phasmophobia with Sicily sometime. But most of all, stay safe this Halloween season. You never know who's going to want to play a game this wicked season.